Fred Williams has been an ARSC member since 1972, specializes in concert military band recordings, collects some, was this Christmas also? He's been collecting since Christmas 1949. Christmas present. No Christmas records, I didn't think so. 165,000 78s, 8,000 cylinders, 27,000 LPs, and various other modes. Has written articles on the Victor Company from recordings for ARSC. I can't read your handwriting. Former retired stockbroker, a smoker of some of the stinkiest cigars that have that has ever been known to mankind. And Seth is one of, he's a, and, oh, well, keep rolling, okay. Yes, okay, yeah, well, I told you that if you don't write anything down, I'm going to make things up. But he, I know, I need to have him do some work for me, so I can't be nasty, that's right, yes. One of the finest. Here they are. you'll be seeing him almost every day today, this week, so fine.
All right, you should know that hopefully everybody has a sheet. I made 100, so and there are 105, so somebody's going to be short. Now, the purpose of the sheet just is to guide you so that I don't have to spend time talking. But in the beginning, about 10 years ago, I talked to Peter Crist of Crystal Records and very gingerly suggested Sousa. And he immediately jumped on the bandwagon. And so for the last... Seth, take over.
Anna.
So about 6 years ago, Seth came into the act. And we became serious about this about 4 years ago. And one comment to make, because Seth is going to do more talking than I, which is right, because he did the engineering. The second march, I think number three on the back, at the bottom. The Honored Dead when I had this all completed about 2.5 years ago, I called Paul Byerly, who's the world's expert on Sousa. I said, will you help me just double check my work here? And then he came up with the wonderful statement, but you've missed one. I said, I missed one? He said, you missed the Honored Dead, and which is a dirge. And I said, oh, gracious. So I looked for that for 11 months. And a wonderful lady in Canandaigua, New York, called me about the 10th of December, 97, saying, I have it. To my knowledge, it's the only copy. It's one of those 10-inchers from 1901. Mm-hmm. And I danced on the ceiling because that very weekend coming up, I was to go to Syracuse and pick up two of the cylinders. And so I drove to Canandaigua through a blinding snowstorm west of Binghamton, more salt than snow. And then I got up to Canandaigua, 60 miles west, picked up the record, went to Syracuse, and took the records the next day to Seth and Adrian Constantini, had them done, went back the same day, and I want to tell you, the sun was against me both ways. And all that done in one day and went home. I was exhausted after that, but we got it all done. And I'm deeply appreciative for everything that was done by her, and also by, and that, by the way, is in the notes, and oh heavens, I left them back in my room. I knew I'd, no, they're in my car. That's my back by my room. So I don't have a bag of records, for those who care. So that was a completion of it. And we finished it about a year ago, and it was released in about the middle of January of this year. So it's all the Sousa marches, 60 of them, recorded by the Sousa Band, and commercially recorded, or in the case of the very first march you're going to hear, after you hear Mr. Sousa, That was not commercially recorded, but it was recorded for radio transcription. And in 1950, Yaroslav Chimura from Chicago, who was a great baritone horn player, he issued this thing on a 7-inch record. Therefore, it was commercially released. And who's our friend from the magazine from...
James
Cameron, I can never remember his name. He called me and he bugged me before this was found, this 7-inch record.
We had the masters finished and we had to add this in at the last second.
Yeah, and so he bugged me to do it. And this was before I knew that Frank Byrd of the Marine Band had the recording. When Frank had it and he sent it to Seth, that was it. I have spoken enough here and I'll put Seth on.
Well, why don't we hear from the grand man himself, John Philip Sousa. This opens the CD, which is this 45, done in honor of originally for Sousa's 75th birthday in November 29, along with a performance which was for transcription for what? Who was the sponsor originally, Fred? It was a baking company, I think?
Baking company. No, it's a baking company.
Or Continental Baking.
Continental Baking. Right, yeah. All righty. Track one, please.
This is John Philip Sousa. And I'm very glad to be here with my band, representing my own country, America. I hope you will enjoy hearing me again as much as I always enjoy playing for you. I've been asked to begin with a march that is an old favorite of mine. Maybe you will recognize it.
Thank you.
told him to make sure that at least one of them was upside down or backwards.
Yeah. Right.
Stop there.
Okay. As Fred spoke about that honored dead, well, let's put it this way. When that disc came to me, it looked like it had been one of the honored dead. I'd never seen a disc like this where the playback equipment or styles or whatever had recut a new groove at the very beginning of it. And I'm sitting there going, oh boy, well, let's see if I can get this thing to play. And I had to take it in two sections, up to the where it would get into the groove and start repeating, stop everything and then try holding the tone arm and then getting it through it. And we were going to put in a note saying, well, sometimes there's a skip in some spot, we lost some music. Fortunately, through digital editing, I was able to take the pieces, put it back together, and this is the result. Track two. I'll put my hand down to show you where the bad groove was. Fred, do you want to add anything, or shall I continue? Okay. Next up is the Gladiator March, one of the first of the Berliners that was in this collection from 1897. This one posed problems just like the Honored Dead in the sense of the limited frequency response, but also because of the rotten surfaces. When we get down to the Bride Elect, I have a real fun one about that. But why don't we go on to that? That'll be track three.
Hold it.
That was relatively easy to work with. I must mention that when Fred came to me, he came with his station wagon back in the summer of 96. And so I got a few copies of here and there and proceeded to take out something like 250 discs, as I remember, out of the back of your station wagon in boxes. And we started going through copies and copies and copies and putting them all onto debt in an unprocessed manner, and then waited for various things to come in. And then certain things would come and I'd say, we need improvements. One of them was the Corcoran Cadets March, which is this 2-inch Edison black wax cylinder. The dub we got originally was okay. I said, this is one of the ones that Fred got up at Syracuse. I said, if there's a way we can get the original cylinder, I'd like to work with that. And Susan Stinson was nice enough to accommodate me and got it to me. And we were able to make another dub because there were certain tracking problems I wanted to get around and see how we can get around some bad grooves. And part of the problem with this recording is that it's a little overloaded. The diaphragm distorted a bit because of probably the volume of the band coming through. And as you will hear as we go through certain things, how the sound changes, the Edison cylinder is very, very forward for its period, maybe a little too forward. But this is one of those performances where you hear the men really having a lot of fun with it. So why don't we go on to track 4. Now we come up to a real beaut, 7-inch Berliner, recorded 1898 of the Bride Elect. What happened here is that we dubbed the thing, and Fred, you may want to talk about our friend Paul Byerly at this point.
Well, Paul Byerly is the authority on John Philip Sousa. He's written the biography, and he's also put out a book on the collected works. And even right now, he's in Westerville, which is next to Columbus. He's writing the book on all the people that played with the Sousa Band, if you can imagine. 40 years of people beyond my imagination. Paul received a tape, and he said, oh, gee, that's not right. So he took his tuba out for pitch. And he played his tuba with the selections. And he made notations as to what did not stand up to his tuba. So he shot that back to Peter Crist and therefore to Seth. And we went around and around with that one. Well, we made some adjustments that only Seth could describe.
Oh, yeah, well, this was probably the worst one of the bunch. Some of them were off by, you know, it's wonderful when you're working with a computer. Someone comes back and you say, move this up 0.22% or down 0.315%. That, you know, things were slightly off because sometimes it's very hard to tell if you're actually at A440. Sometimes you need someone who has absolute perfect pitch, and there was somebody who did that for us. What was her name again? I forget.
I don't know what her
I'll find
name
her name
was,
in here. She would listen to something, oh, that's at A439.
By the way,
okay, so
the place is Camas or Camas, Washington, the other part of the world. And
yeah.
This lady that he's talking about, and I leave that in your hands now.
Okay, now the one we're going to play next is The Bride Elect, which is from 1898. In the booklet, we have the speed down. It starts at 57.99 RPM. And within 30 seconds, creeps up to 65.08, I figured out calculating. In other words, it sweeps a whole tone within 30 seconds. Which, of course, everyone picked up on. I said, okay, here we go. So I go into the computer, and I start sampling this 30 seconds in tenths of a percent. Each section, and then sat there listening to it and editing it together on strategic notes to bring it back into some semblance of pitch. This little nonsense of 30 seconds took me 2 hours. In fact, I even picked up the phone, I put Peter on, I said, how does it sound? And he said, I said, wait a minute, hold on, I'll move an edit point over. And he said, now it sounds right. This is one of those things that, yes, you can do a restoration on this. You couldn't do this on almost all the standard turntables with that kind of spread, but it had to be done in very, very slow increments. So let's go to track 5. Just listen to we'll hear the whole thing, but it's within that first 30 seconds, it sweeps, which I think I pretty much successfully corrected.
By the way, if you think that I deliberately put all these old, rusty, dusty, musty records in there, you're crazy. Those are the last recordings that the Sousa Band made, and in most cases, the only recording that the Sousa Band made. So that's why we have these things that go that far back. It's horribly bad on your ears, but in the interests of including everything that he did, this is the alpha and omega. This is what resulted from those primitive things.
Right. Well, let's go on to something a little more modern. Let's jump to 1909 Victor, where, of course, this is pretty much state of the art for the Victor Talking Machine Company at the time. Obviously, you're going to hear a lot more of the band now, even if it is still the acoustic process. And this is The Glory of the Yankee Navy from December 30th, 1909.
Now the next one, Seth will explain that, what he has done.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Originally, when we were going to put in Solid Men to the Front and Sabre and Spurs, Fred wanted to put the Sousa recordings of it, which were done in 1918, followed by the Arthur Pryor remakes Electrically in 26. And I said, Fred, you know, Sousa's conducting of these is a little bit slower than Mr. Pryor's. He's not going to look very good. And he says, you know, you're right. So what we did is we put that at the tail end after the last of the published ones on the last CD, so that you don't have that jarring effect of going, first of all, from an acoustic into an electric of two performances that will not exactly show the old man off as well as his assistant. But for purposes here, I've decided to join the two of them together digitally. Just to show you the difference of, as well as they recorded Sousa in 1918, of the difference in tempo and how much more verb Pryor had, and of course the difference in the perspective of what the band sounded through a horn versus the early electrical process. So what we're going to hear is the first half. I picked a rather, a spot where something repeats so you can actually hear the difference of how the band sounds, but what's interesting is that the uniformity of the band and the sound is very consistent. They play like one instrument, and there's a certain sound, especially in the bottom end, that even on the acoustics come through, even when it goes to the electric. So let's hear this spliced together version of Solid Men to the Front, first recorded on September 6, 1908, with Sousa conducting, and then the remake on October 5, 1926, with Arthur Pryor conducting. Track 7, please.
Thank you.
going to do the unheard of. The march that I love, my favorite Sousa march. And then there's Seth's favorite Sousa march. Now, they're on the list down there, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Seven. Excuse me, eight.
Joe Green, believe it or not.
Thank you.
July 1930. Well, two other sides were recorded the same date. One was the Harmonica Wizard, and the other was the Salvation Army March. Neither one of those was ever released. However, we had a good friend who was an executive about 25 years ago with RCA, and I said, hey, could you fix it up for me? So he did. And this is the first, on this CD set, this is the first time that those two marches have ever been released, and there's nothing wrong with them. My guess, and that's all it can be, is that times are getting pretty tough, and these two had more appeal. And by the way, if you do wish to have a set of these, there's a 48-page booklet in that, and I mentioned a number of people in ARS for helping me. Without them, I couldn't have done it. I got a total of about 650 copies of the 55 marches that I had. You can imagine what we're talking about here. And if it weren't for those people, and I put the major contributors in there, it just wouldn't have happened. So I'm eternally grateful to you members of ARS. And Sue Stinson, I want to hug you three or four times, because it just would not have happened. It would have been impossible.
Right.
I don't know why I'm doing it publicly either. Please put your name down here, and as soon as I'm able to get back and bring the box down, I forgot the box, it's in my car, I'm glad to sell you a set. Isn't that terrible to have it? Is it bad to have a commercial
like
that?
Yeah.
He's going to erase it on the tape.
Anyway.
A discount? What's a discount?
Discount. Oh, yeah.
Are there any questions?
Yeah.
Sure, back there.
Mike, yeah.
Did you buy
on
the margin?
I thought you'd forgotten I was involved in that world.
Okay, hold on.
Back
okay.
There, David.
David. When Yuba plays the tuba down in Cuba.
Well, he is acknowledged by Harvey Phillips as the greatest tuba player that ever lived, and that's probably the case. Anybody else?
Al?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Peter, hold on a minute. Al.
Al.
You.
Al, good.
One good bad thing that happens when you put something like this out is sometimes people call in and say, boy, I wish I'd have known this was happening because here's a new copy, a better copy, or whatever than you guys have. Has any of that happened yet?
Well, no, not really. It's going to happen, I'm sure. We're going to find another copy of Honor Dead, and et cetera. But by the time they're found, we'll be down the road a few years. With 650, and most of them had duplicates or triplicates. In fact, in a couple of cases, there were 20 of them, you know. Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
I did the same thing with the Marine Band project, by the way. I had multiple copies. Go ahead, who's next?
Was the spliced recording acoustic to electric the one that was featured on NPR?
Exactly right. Dennis was at my place. We did it at a different spot. We did it on the cymbal crash further in. But that's the same before and after, essentially. All right, Peter, what?
Yeah, wonderful presentation. I just want to remind everybody that another great music man was heard on these. This is a man, Meredith Wilson, played piccolo in the Sousa Band when he was about 18,
19, 20. Yeah, he played in the early 20s into the 26 or 7, as I recall, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He probably got his inspiration.
Yeah. Most emphatic.
I think that last one we play, the Royal Welsh Fusiliers, the piccolo solo, and that's a bit harder than the Stars and Stripes Forever that's going on in there. Any other questions?
Amazing things you discover by listening. By the way, if you acquire that set, don't listen to them all at one time. You'll go crazy. It's tough enough to hear 10 of them, and my heart's out to you, and I respect you all for listening to 10 SZA marches.
Listening to him.
And what was I doing?
Listening to sound quality.
I just want to read something here to wrap it up. And Fred, I would like you to stand because after I read this, I think he absolutely deserves a round of applause for his dedication. But don't do it yet. Let me just read from the booklet. It is hoped that in addition to the joy of listening to these Sousa marches, the reader can appreciate the saga of finding these records during the last 50 years. Peter, Kristen, and I had talked about this project for 10 years. Serious work started in 1996 when he arranged for engineer Seth Winter to do the disc transfers. Work was in progress from 1997 to November of 1999. At last, this tribute is to the greatest march composer of them all, John Philip Sousa. And I might want to add in, I've worked with quite a number of producers over the years. And when Fred came to me, I really felt this was something that he said, this is my life's ambition, I want this to happen, and it did. And Fred, I want you to stand up, and everyone should give you a round of applause for what you've done on this.
It'll go to my head.
Anyway, I want to thank you. Well, we have some others in the works, which will be slowly but surely coming through Crystal Records. But thank you all for coming. If you have any questions, we'll be around here. Thanks.
Please put your name on a card, and I will bring them to you this afternoon, I guess, or whenever we're back, or this evening, or whatever.
Okay, a note.